Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier. Arms a warrior in this cause with you, your comrade. This is Sean Kwali. I'm broadcasting live once again to you from the hails and the smells of North America, and we definitely want to thank you for tuning in and listening to another bold, cold edition of Black Power Radio. And we want to, of course, send you greetings of Black Power, peace, and prosperity to everyone listening from every chapter of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And, of course, we want to send you greetings on behalf of the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. That's right, doctor and attorney, Malik Zulu Shabazz. And so Wednesday night, family, this Wednesday night, and Wednesday nights, unless otherwise instructed, will become lecture night. Wednesday night will be the lecture night where we will bring to you a lecture by the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We'll bring you a lecture by the National Chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And we'll bring you a lecture by one of the representatives of the New Black Panther Party, or even maybe something from the Black Panther Party of the 1960s. We're going to give you something on Wednesday night that is guaranteed to charge your black power battery. And so we don't want to prolong the show at all. We want to get right into it with a lecture that was delivered by the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, as he was a minister and he was a trainer of men and trainer of women and a soldier and a warrior. And he brung the lecture called The Goddamn White Man. And so we're going to bring it to you right now. So buckle your seatbelts, get you some popcorn, get you something to drink if you got to, and turn the volume all the way up because we're going off into it now. And so here we go, brothers and sisters, The Goddamn White Man. I ain't gonna find him. I'm gonna cut you up right now.
But
when you don't see anything, it standardizes it. It epitomizes it. It sets it aside and pretty much makes it a cut above everything else. This is the standard by which everything else in that category or class is to be judged. So if we say the goddamn white man, then that means there's no other goddamn man anywhere that can compare with this goddamn man. All right, but we want to look at it, though. God is the supreme being. Is that right? Not just any being, but God, using the definite article again, is the supreme being. God is not a supreme being. God is what? The supreme being. Nothing else to compare with the power, the wisdom, the majesty, the glory of Almighty God. So he is the supreme being. He is the creator, not a creator. He is what? The creator. He is the former, the shaper, the molder, the fashioner of everything that is in existence. He is the divine mind of the universe. Is that him? And he is called in many languages by many names. And you, black man, and you, black woman, you have always believed in that God. Never has there been a time when the black man and the black woman, could you bring me a little bit, when the black man and the black woman have not believed in a God. Now, I know the white man has told you that when he found us in Africa, we were swinging through the trees, eating bananas and eating each other. And hallelujah, booga. Right. And that we were savages, living on a beast level. And that he brought us to America and civilized us. That he did us a favor by bringing us to America. But such is not the case, because white folks do lie. We have always believed in the supreme being. We have always believed in the creator. We have always believed in the shaper, the molder, and the fashioner. That one who called and willed everything into existence. We have always believed in the divine mind, the infinite intelligence, the power, the force that is behind the cosmological and universal order of things, and who set it all to a balance and set it all up according to divine law. We have always believed in that God. You go to one part of Africa, and we call him Nakumpo. You go to another part of Africa, we call him Mbelinko. You go to another part of Africa, we call him Nkulunkulu. What we call him?
Hold on one second, dear family. Just a quick little technical issue here. Bring it right back on. Here we go.
Let me hear you say it one more time. Nakumpo, in another part of Africa, we call him Shango. In another part, we call him Oshun, Ogun, Ireta, Babaluaye, Oludumare, Obatula. Another part of Africa, we call him Katar. And we, there, in the holy city of what is called Egypt by the white man, but it's called Kemet by us, which means black. In the ancient nation, African, black African nation, Kemet, or what is called Egypt by the Greeks, in the holy city of Abydos, in the sacred temple of Seti I, there on the walls in what the white man calls hieroglyphics, but what we call in the language of Kemet, the Medunetta. In the language of the Medunetta, not hieroglyphics, you can read it on the walls. And it dates back 4,100 years. Some say 5,000 years.
Father, because Truth is told, we believe the scripture when it says God is spirit. and the universe. That's what Professor George G.M. James is talking about in Stern a Legacy. That's what Dr. Ben is talking about in his great works that he has given to us. That's what Dr. John Henry Clark is talking about. Dr. Asa Hilliard. Dr. Jim Carruthers. Dr. Miles Honor Karenga. This is what the scholars among us is talking about. This is what Sheikh Anta Diop is talking about. This is what Dr. Ivan Van Sertima is talking about. This is what Dr. Richard King, Brother Carol Barnes, and many others, this is what they are talking about when they tell us about this meiotic balance and the balance in the nature of the black man and black woman and how we gain religion and science and law and art and music and mathematics and civilization and religion and ethics and morality to this no good cracker who was crawling around on his all fours in the caves and hills of Europe.
Thank you.
They'd bring no mangy animal in the cave, and they would bite on the animal and eat the animal raw. Then they would leave the animal right there in the cave. And the stench and decomposition coming up from the animal's life was just a matter of fact. It was just a part of the daily routine. For 2,000 years, the white man and white woman lived in the caves and hills of Europe, bound, confined in Europe, living worse than in the Dark Ages. He did his number one in the cave. You know what number one is. He did his number two in the cave, too. So for 2,000 years in that same cave, he did his number one. For 2,000 years in that same cave, he did his number two. Can you imagine walking around in your number one and your number two, generation after generation? Can you imagine not just walking around in your number two, but can you imagine lying down to go to sleep every night, right there in your jurisdiction and your defecation? That's what they did for 2,000 years in the caves and hills of Europe. For 2,000 years, that's what they did. And today they still might say me wrong. Don't they? Some of you go to the restaurant, try to act like white folks, don't know what the hell you're doing. You have me been to that kind of fancy restaurant before, you trying to show off. You know how you can fix your big, beautiful, thick African lips all to the side. And get proper when you like to get proper. You trying to listen to the white folks at the next table so you can decide what you go on. And they say, I'll have a fine rib of any cut. So, yeah, that's pretty good. So you think you cool, you straight now. But then the waiter asks the next question. How would you like that, sir? How would you like that, ma'am? And you heard the white folks say, I'll have mine red. You say, well, hell, that must mean it's a real special kind of snake, a steak. If it's red, it must not be no more steaks like that one in the whole restaurant. So I got to show off for my lady, so I'm going to get a rare in cut fine rib. It ain't got no cuts like that, because it's rare. It must be a special state. And so you sitting there, proper, waiting, holding your cancer stick in your hand, puffing on a poison nicotine weed that the goddamn white man gave you, smile in one end and a fool on the other end of the cigarette. You sitting there waiting, and they bring it with the blood all in the plate, and then you lose your coolness. You ain't proper no more. You lose all of that. I don't want this here. What you bring me this here for with all this blood? I don't want to put all this. I thought it was red. He said, well, sir, ma'am, it is red. They still eat their meat raw today. They like to eat it with the blood. They like to taste the blood. They got blood pies. They got blood pudding. They got a pudding called Boudin. Blood. They sit down and eat it like it's hot or Heinz tomato sauce. 6 tablespoons of blood. Say, you're going to drink, honey? She said, yes, it's wonderful. That's the escargot. That's another thing they hang you up on. They say, our special today is escargot. Uko hooky shit. You don't know what the hell it is. And they bring it to you and you find out it's nails. Them African lips get straight then. You're not proper anymore then. You're not holding that little, you're not even holding a little finger up when you're trying to get proper. I don't want no damn snails. I don't eat no snails. All this white folks love snails. They even have another delicacy that they call mountain oysters. That's the male organ of the bull. Sex organ of the bull. They eat the bull, the male bull genitalia on a plate with a fork and a knife and some salt and pepper. folks did this for 2,000 years in the caves and hillsides of Europe. They crawled around on their own fours. That's why our dear brothers in this house, who we love and respect, they should be here at this meeting today. We love them. The Grand Master of this lodge should be sitting right up here. We have a special seat for the Grand Master, the Imperial Grand Potentate. We got a seat for all of them. The daughters of Jericho and the Herons of Jericho and the Eastern Star, we got a special place for them because they are following after the white man's order and not after their own. They have 32 degrees, is that right? 32 degrees. But they say that they are upright on the square. He's been raised from a dead level to a living perpendicular, upright on the square. In order to be upright on the square, you must have a 90-degree angle. Is that right? It must be a 90-degree angle to be upright on the square. Half of that is what? Is a 45-degree angle. Is that right? 45-degree angle. But now here's the people who say they're upright on the square. And they got 32 degrees somewhere down here. And 32 degrees is freezing on the Fahrenheit scale. Then they get an honorary degree, the 33rd degree, and they go into the Shriner. And they name their lodges Mecca Lodge, Medina Lodge, Muhammad Lodge, Elijah Lodge, Quran Lodge. These are white folks, white presidents, are members of the Quran Lodge, the Muhammad Lodge, the Mecca Lodge, the Medina Lodge. Did you know that? White judges, white for in corporate America, even white strong chewing tobacco chewing snips into the overall red pepper down in the deep south that will call us a nigger in a minute. They believe in masonry, and they are symbols of Quran Lodge, and Muhammad Lodge, and Mecca Lodge, and all of these lodges. And they wear a fez with a black cap on it. A red fez with a black cap on it. With a star and crescent like this one turned right side down. Not right side up, but up side down. With a sword running. You see him wearing it in diamonds, and there's a pair with a sword running. The sword is there to remind the white man. You have robbed the black man and the black woman of their name, their language, their religion, their culture, their God, their folkways, their memories, their norms, and robbed them of the very power of their own being. And if you ever let the black man know who he really is, if you ever let the secret leak out of who the black woman really is, if they ever know who they really are, you will never be able to control them again. So that will be the hour of the resurrection of the dead, the rise of the black nation, and the fall and the demise of the white man. So
right. Yeah.
was the black man and the black woman. Thousands in the lakes, the rivers, the brooks, and the streets. Burned them alive. Cut our black women's stomachs over pictures. Set the baby from their stomach and touch the baby under their boots. Tie horses and oxen to them while infectious. Take 9 months to keep the horses and make them run in opposite directions. Body apart, full of black babies and tall. I'm talking about the goddamn white man. But some of you today, you like a milk toast, sissified, punkified kind of teaching. Well, we're talking about, well, maybe you'll be able to get along. After all, we do have a man running for president. All he's doing is running. There's a pursuit he'll never catch up with. He should be run out of town by thunder. He should be running for the border. It's true. You never read when Jesus ran from Caesar's position. He couldn't be Caesar. He wanted to be Vice Caesar. Moses, the great liberator who came saying, let my people go. You never read where Moses wanted to be Pharaoh. If I can't be Pharaoh, let me be Vice Pharaoh. If I can't be Pharaoh, not Vice Pharaoh, let me be head of the joint snakes of staff. You never heard where Moses wanted to do that. Moses came with a straight up message. Every time he went to blue eyed devil. This never happened in Egypt. This never happened in Africa. This is prophetic. This is a prophecy in the Old Testament that is to be fulfilled at a later time through the New Testament and really through you and I here in this time that we're living. No people, no 700,000, 800,000 white folks have ever been in bondage in black Egypt under a black pharaoh. That's the biggest lie that's ever been told. You can't find it in the history books there. You can't find it in the libraries there. You can't find it in the mezzanine or the hieroglyphics in any of the temples or on any of the walls. No white people been in bondage in Egypt under us while we would have eaten them alive. If they had been in bondage under us for 400 years, you wouldn't even be able to recognize them now with all this dominant blackness coming from us. They'd be sitting right in here with us right now and we wouldn't know the difference. One might stand up and raise his hand up and say, I'm here. But we don't expect that to happen because they weren't in bondage under us for 400 years. That represents our condition today from the year 1555 to 1990 in a few minutes, I think. And we spent the Genesis prophecy of Genesis, the 15th chapter, the 13th, the 14th, and 15th verses of being in bondage in a strange land among a strange people, oppressed and afflicted for 400 years. We're the only people that fit that prophecy. The giant Chinese, the Vietnamese, the Japanese, the Greeks, the Freaks, none of them have been in bondage anywhere for 400 years. Except us. We're the only one. So that prophecy fits us to a T. But it's the white man who put us in this condition and is now trying to fool us today, giving us some token Negroes. Coleman Powell is a token Negro. Jesse Jackson running for president is a token Negro. You got Uncle Tom Bradley. He's the mayor, isn't he? Look, I don't bite my tongue on these chunks. I don't. It's you, so diplomatic and so sissified. Well, you shouldn't talk about the honorable mayor that way. There's nothing honorable about that nigga. He's a white man's nigga. Tell him I said so. To help fight drugs in this city, to help fight crime in this city, to bring the blue and the red. me if I'm wrong. But he wouldn't meet with his brother, the Honorable Lewis Forrest. He wouldn't even approve of Minister Forrest. Now, I'm speaking at the Los Angeles Convention. They tried to block and destroy the contract when the minister was to come and speak at the convention center. But over 16,000 was packed in. And you had some others outside. You had the U.S. Defense League outside, Earl Rubin at the bar. It had been a few weeks or months earlier, he had a rally out there in Jewtown calling for Minister Farrakhan's death. It was called a Death to Farrakhan rally. Now, you can do that in some cities, and you might get away with it. But you can't do that in this city. Not with me here, and not with some of us here, but it's to stand up at the convention center. And brought the bad JDL with him, the U.S. Defense League, came all up to the door where the tickets were being, or where the people were being let into the door and everything. Came up haranguing the crowd and maligning and trying to vilify our leader, crying about anti-Semitism, but he was practicing anti-Kemitism. Kemet means black, and anti-Kemitism is a position of anti-black. And so as an anti-Kemite, he came up to our door at the convention center. And we drove it behind into the streets, into the off the sidewalk, and almost in the gutter. He was out in Jewtown. But we said, we heard that you called for the death of the Honorable Lewis Farrakhan. Call for his death to our faith. And we will kill you right here on the spot.
Thou shalt not do, the white man says, it's all right to do it. And you'll find him doing it, and he'll make everything.
It is only our righteousness and uprightness that will sustain us. God will not spare us if we stay with the white man in his inordinate behavior. That's the only way that it can be done. Are you with me? We're going to wrap it up in a few minutes. I'm going to cover just a few more points. There's just so much to say about the goddamn white man. It's hard to say a word and leave him alone. Because he never leaves us alone. Never leaves us alone. I was talking about Uncle Tom Bradley a second ago. I don't want to leave Tom alone. Can you imagine his nephew and his niece when they see him? They say, oh, here's Uncle Tom. Mom, Dad, Uncle Tom is here. Oh, I'm so happy to see you, Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom, how are things down in City Hall? Don't you think that's what his nephew and his niece is calling him, Uncle Tom? Well, I can call him Uncle Tom if they call him Uncle Tom. It's a family thing. He's a part of the family. He's just the white sheep of the family, that's all. So let's see if I'm wrong. Wasn't it the consummate general of the illegitimate, illegal, no good, no down, so-called Republic of South Africa, the apartheid system, that was on a visit here, diplomatic visit to Los Angeles? You correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Uncle Tom, Mayor Uncle Tom, Honorable Tom, didn't Honorable Tom give him the key to the city? Maybe I'm wrong and got it mixed up. Maybe it was in the census building and Uncle Tom was in the shower for several hours and didn't know what happened. Did the Mayor Bradley give the representative from South Africa the key to the city? Didn't he roll out what they call the red carpet for him? You mean you can welcome a representative, a white, race, cold-blooded cracker, a thief who kills black men, women, children, and babies every day over diamonds and gold and rubies and land in South Africa? A handful of crackers ruling not even 5 million crackers ruling 40 million black people have kept our brother Nelson Mandela in jail all these years, decades, and hurt deeply, but has made her a strong revolutionary woman and a beautiful example, Sister Winnie Mandela, and the babies who are now grown up into young black princes who are great revolutionaries and warriors. Hell, the key members of ANC and PAC in prison all these years that just killed us in Soweto, the Sharpeville Massacre. And you mean the Honorable Uncle Tom can give a cracker who represents South Africa the key to the city and sit down at a banquet with the devil? And give him a commendation from the city, but he can't respect his brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? I'm talking about the goddamn white man and his goddamn Uncle Tom, who's going to hell with him if he continues. That's what I'm talking about. Get loose. Not that kind of. Look at Jesse Jackson. Messy Jackson. Here's a nigga that must be seen with Minister Farrakhan in public. He see Minister Farrakhan coming in a hotel. He's in the hotel lobby. He see him coming and see news cameras around. He turn around and run and go in the other direction. Just saw him briefly for a few minutes. Greeted him at an event in Chicago. But for years, he has to sit with Minister Farrakhan. All these years since 84? Did you know that? That all these years since 84, he has not been man enough, black man enough, strong enough to go and reach out to his brother and say, brother, this cold-blooded beast, the goddamn white man, has put a about rainbow and the white man is talking about ransom. You clowning and the white man is close. You doing the moonwalk and the white man is walking on the moon. Ain't no comparison. This same handkerchief head Negro Jesse Lewis Depp, who can't meet with his brother Minister Farrakhan, not even in the basement in the closet. But isn't he the same handkerchief head sickle that fits with old no good George Wallace in Alabama? Shook his nasty, slimy, dirty, diseased, racist hand. Caught the cracker in front of everybody. And George Wallace said segregation yesterday, segregation today, and segregation tomorrow. George Wallace said a nigger is a nigger is a nigger is a nigger and keeps the nigger in his place. George Wallace called out the truth. City police, county police, state police, national guard to keep black men, women, and children out of high schools and elementary schools and out of college. There's no good George Wallace, but your Jesse Jackson can't meet with Louis Farrakhan, but he can meet with George Wallace. No, no good, Jesse. No good. No good. Too strong. Too black. Too strong. Too black. Too strong. He couldn't get it out of this, but he had you running around here calling yourself a minority. I'm talking about the goddamn white man. And you were running around here with a minority problem. We're studying the minority situation, minority trends. Fool, you're not no damn minority. You outnumber the white man 196,940,000 square miles of the planet Earth. 12 to 1, you outnumber the white man. It's the white man who's the minority. You are the majority. You're the majority. The white man is the minority. But you let the goddamn white man pull the wool over your silly eyes. Who told you you were the minority? What white man? What white man? So you are a minority and you outnumber him 11 to 12 to 1. The minority. And here comes Stephen, Amber, Andy. Spanky, Buckwheat. Here comes Buckwheat. It's moaning time. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. We should take on the name African American. And now you're running around, you an African American. Do you know you have been every damn thing there is? You've been Negro with a small N, because white folks wouldn't let you spell it with a capital N. You put capital Negro on an application, you didn't get that. You probably wasn't going to get it nobody. Still wasn't going to get it if you spelled Negro with a capital N. Then he let us spell it with a capital N. Negro with a small N. Negro with a capital N. Sometimes he just called it a straight up thing. We were colored. Some of us still colored. Some of us still take care of colored folks' business. Some of us still act colored. And we don't know how to deal with a black woman or a black man when a black man or a black woman stands up in the midst of color. Well, they try to eat him alive. They try to eat her alive. Because they know that if it's black in the midst of that which is color, it ain't going to be long before that black or the dominant color is going to become black. Former president of the Department of Capital of the NAACP, who the white man, the goddamn white man. Well, it's typical of the first half. Typical of the news. Talking about how when he was his reign, a series of
Run out of town by Sunday.
With
talking here today, for those who are just coming in, about the goddamn white man. That's what the God has condemned, that his world is to come down, and that he is now to raise up his people. And the way he will raise up his people, the black people, is that he will give them a guide, give them a warning, give them a messenger, give them a freedom fighter, give them a revolutionary who is divinely guided, who is from God himself, who God has his hand on that man. Set that man in the midst of the people. And that man becomes a fountain of wisdom in the midst of the people. When I mentioned Brother Delvin Howard, he understands what Almighty God is doing with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan in our midst. Because as I was saying earlier, when we saw on TV that he, who had never been among us before, never been to a meeting, we didn't even know him. But when we saw that he worked for the telephone company and he's up on the turn working for the company, telephone company, and the Klan came by and shot him in the back and paralyzed him from the waist down. He's in the wheelchair back there now, but he's a strong black man. When we saw that, it was just like it was one of us that we knew every day. Rounded up all of the men on short notice. And when we had a caravan almost long as the Nile River looking for us some Ku Klux Klan. We just had a taste for Klan that day. Not Klan. We had a taste for Klan that day. And we went looking for the Klan. And we ultimately found some of this can be talked about, some of it can't be talked about. Some of it has been told, and other parts of it ain't gonna never be told. Those who know won't say, and those who say probably won't know what they're talking about. But on national television, we met the Ku Klux Klan. Over him, he's in the courtroom, and we went to put protection on him as the NAACP president out in that area, Reverend Duck. And brother was with the precinct reporter newspaper then, Minister Rubin. And we went out, nose to nose with the Klan, pumped them out absolutely. I can't even tell you the kind of machinery we had hooked up for. I can't even tell you the stuff that we had waiting in the wings and the stuff we had everywhere waiting for the Klan. But they could tell what we had. I couldn't even believe they were the Ku Klux Klan. You know, you have all these images of the Klan. They were six burly, belly, beer belly, that's all. I thought when he showed up, we were going to have to start rumbling right then. We had a contingent of men in vans and trucks and jeeps. They had one command. That was to watch the flow of the crowd, feel the spirit of fear. And if anything broke out with AK-47s and Uzis and automatic weapons or whatever the Klan broke out with, or if the police got in it for the Klan, they had one command, and that they were the craziest drivers we had. And we had been observing them for a long time, and we didn't have no drivers crazier than them. And their objective was when it broke out was to put the pedal to the metal. Hit the sidewalk like you on the Santa Monica or the San Bernardino freeway. If you miss anything, put it start in reverse and put the metal to the pedal, the pedal to the metal, and back up over the crap. And while they cleaning this sidewalk, somebody else gonna be cleaning that sidewalk. And we knew we had these squads prepared. We came in at all different points of the courthouse. They looked up and saw us coming in the front, and they got prepared, and somebody said, it's sure like hurting my heart. They looked behind, we were coming from behind, where the left flank covered, the right flank covered. So before them and behind them. And then we had the fans, the trucks and the jeeps. We didn't figure they had made an AK-47 or a Uzi that would stop these bad brothers that was going to rip through them crowds and sweep the sidewalk. They call them the weapon street sweepers. We had the red street sweepers. And we had our instructions on how to get the hell out of the way when the trucks were coming through, when the vans were coming through. And when the crackers started scattering in the streets, we had another group of street sweepers that was supposed to take all reins Fitzshine Jump Battalion Combat Group, Paratrooper Group. I mean, we were cold to the bone. They had on red, we had on black. It was a funeral of one of the bloods who had been killed. Sometime back, we had been to a funeral of one of the Crips who had been killed. Because the Crip is our brother and the blood is our brother. We're all family. We're all family. Same dog that bit you, bit us too. So we go to both of the funerals because we're trying to win both of our brothers. Yes, we are. Yesterday was the blood too. And they came in, I mean, they were some tough blood. They had big ones. Big and soft. Medium size. Then they have some little peewee brothers, look like they about this tall. Shirts on, button up to the top, and the cuffs all red. We went to the Crips, you know, they were just the same way as you were. They were, I mean, awesome. If we ever organize them, and we are, this white man is in trouble. He's in trouble when we organize.
Probably one of his best was a blue suit, but he didn't wear it necessary. Plans a bad plan. I'm wrong like cats from Afghanistan with gas in their hand from Philly to Pakistan. Fake pack in the stands. You make all fake thugs start acting like stands. Don't ever make your move cause you lacking a fan. I've been ill since I had a backpack full of cans. You see life pass by you in a blink of an eye. Thinking you fly will choke you in the sink till you die. You spit lava rap, so holler back if need be. You'll burn if you step, believe me. Come see me. I make you see moons in the break of day and make sure that your body slowly starts. It's gruesome, I had to add my 2 cents. The next movement in rap gets too tense. Out of space, nigga, and we demand we eat. And if not, we gon' leave a bloodbath in the street, nigga.
They asking, it's 30 spoils of war. Such spoils are the disposal of God and the apostles. So spare God and keep straight the relations between yourselves. Obey God and his apostles. Ye do believe.
I'm a maniac. You need to watch who you roll with. You in a land of stars when the block isn't over. Squash rock with my hands. My palms is enormous. Flows the hot lava that I drop when I scorch it. Got some we pop up, record it. Committing riot acts, so we constantly torch it. Illest quarter rock, thought process is morbid. Decrypt the slaughter block, you get the picture of portrait. If it ain't monetary, what's your reason for touring? All that shit you pop, to be honest, is boring. Been rocking the mic since before it's recorded. You need to sit back and let your conscience absorb this before you ship your demo to them dudes in the office. Come test your skills for real and help fortress. I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, so that no wind was low on the earth, or on the sea, or on any creek. I saw another angel ascend from the sunrise, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to harm the earth and the sea.
Immortal technique, I live life strangling death. I walk through the land where the fallen angel is kept, but I would never bow down to a pagan habit, like Roman gods that were faggots named after the planets. The connotations of revelations taken for granted, mark of the beast, government microchips implanted. I'll be branded a maniac for speaking the truth, and I'll be murdered as soon as I hit the street with the proof. Illuminati trying to raise the devil at any cost. They probably clone Jesus with the blood off of the cross, and I know that it's the same motherfuckers I see that genetically engineered HIV, controlling the population according to mathematics generated by Masons and the military industry, sponsoring terror, creating a profit margin that'll last forever. The Crusades of Vietnam stand blasted together, and you believe in whatever, even a federal promise. But the spawn of Satan can never be honest. The poor people pay homage and pray to a God that the Vatican themselves don't really believe in, because they'd rather worship money and the physical demons without biblical reason. I execute them for treason. I don't need an alibi, cause my place in history is the book of Malachi, motherfucker. Yeah, Immortal Technique, Harlem, New York, and North Philly. The angels of death are here, you motherfucker. I'ma turn your cities to salt, nigga. Y'all ain't shit, and none of you people is shit. None of your children is shit. They all be dead tomorrow, fake motherfuckers. What? Yeah,
you're done, nigga. Until the philosophy, which old one race superior and another inferior, is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Miss a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. Miss a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international.
Coming together, Jared DeHoover, the government and the FBI says, the unity, the coalition of the militant black groups. We must stop them. That is our denial objective. They must not come together. So since everyone is talking about the birth of a Messiah, I thought it was fitting at this time tonight that we talk about not only the paganism and the symbolism and the Satanism of this illegal, illegitimate, criminal policy of white people, but also important to talk about prophecy that would come up with a messianic mission. That messianic mission would be to deliver the 50 million or more mentally, spiritually, and culturally dead black men and black women from the graveyard of the white man here in the hills of North America, the sons and daughters of Africa, displaced in the death and decadence of the diaspora of the Western world. A messianic people with a messianic mission, but they come in the spirit of the Messiah, come in the spirit of the messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. They come in the spirit of the messenger, of the Messiah, of black nationalism and pan-Africanism, the honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. They come in the spirit of black power. They come in the spirit of black nationalism. They come in the spirit of revolutionary pan-Africanism. And they come in the spirit of black liberation theology. I delivered it. Don't move that bag. That's an important bag. I got my first aid kit in there. Somebody might get hurt here tonight. And I might have to go in my doctor's bag and operate on this. Don't move my first aid kit. Leave my first aid kit alone. Because I have bandages for them. A little mature call. A little alcohol. New castor oil. Get out of there, whatever it is, it might be in there that needs to come out. So make sure we leave the first aid station in place. I brought my white Bible tonight. Why did I bring my white Bible? Because we're dreaming of a white Christmas. Let me tell you, I was in Africa. Blue, black, beautiful, purple, black Africa. We're walking around on the equator in the torrid zone. And blue, black, purple, black Africans are walking around, our continental African brothers and sisters, as we are diaspora Africans, talking about and singing, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. What the hell are you dreaming of a white Christmas in Nigeria? We're dreaming of a white Christmas in Ghana, in Togo, in Mali, in Cote d'Ivoire. We're dreaming of a white Christmas in Kenya, in the Sudan. How are you dreaming of a white Christmas? Dreaming of a white Christmas here in Philadelphia, in New York, in New Jersey, in California, down south, in Alabama. We're dreaming, many of us, of a white Christmas. Dreaming of a white Christmas. Look at it. White courts. White laws. White judges. Huh? White policemen. White-minded policemen who happen to be black. Huh? A white president. White vice president. Don't forget, in the White House. Now, don't say, now, that's why I don't come and hear that Khalid Muhammad. But because he stretches things too much. Now he's going to make something out of it just because the building is white. So it's the White House, and he's going to make a big deal out of it. Look, if I go to a schoolhouse, I assume it's for schooling. If I go to a bathhouse, I assume it's for bathing. If I go to what the elders call a church house, I go to the church house for some churches. If I go to the white, well, if I go to the out house, I go to get something out, in the house. But if I go to the white house, I expect that the house is of white people, by white people, and for white people. So I brought my white Bible. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad said that this Bible is absolutely the graveyard of our people. He said our people.
people are buried in this book. And I dare to say to you, whether you like it or not, call yourself this kind of Muslim. Call yourself that kind of Muslim. Call yourself the other kind of Muslim or another kind of Muslim. Or just a Muslim, 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 Muslim. Whatever the hell you call yourself, unless you have a black liberation theology, you go into the heart of the Lord of fools, and you'll come out an even bigger fool. You go into the Bible of fools and come out an even bigger fool. You must study the Quran from our Fatiha to our Nas. From a black liberation theology perspective, you must study the Bible from a black liberation theology perspective. If it ain't black, I don't want your religion. If you're not preaching the liberation of the black man, woman, and child, I don't want your religion. If you're not teaching about a God that is so angry with the white man for enslaving his people, murdering them in cold blood, robbing them of a knowledge of self, taking their names, their language, their religion, their culture, their gods, their folklore, their mores, their norms, drowning them in the lakes, the rivers, the brooks, and the streams, lynching them and hanging them from trees, holding them and lying to them on a daily and consistent basis. You're not telling me about a God that is so angry over this, that he is duty-bound, destined, divinely destined to destroy the white man of America and the world. If your God is that kind of God, I don't want nothing to do with your God. If your God loves everybody, I don't want your God.
Signs of heaven. Learn not the ways of the heathen.
be not dismayed by the signs of heaven. For one goeth out into the forest and cuts down the evergreen tree, fastens it with nails and hammers, and decks it with gold and silver. Jeremiah says this is the way of the heathen, but this is a vain and an empty practice. You not only got the damn tree in your house, Reverend Pigfoot got the tree in the church. Reverend Hancock, Reverend Hogmar, Reverend Shiblin, you put it down, Israel. Got a big old Christmas tree in the church. Yeah, with that Christmas tree, you got balls hanging from the tree. And some of you damn fools got mistletoe. We Black man, you are a lover by nature. You got to be a lover by nature when God has blessed you with a woman. The black woman, the mother of civilization, queen of the planet Earth, daughter of the universe. This is a powerful black woman here, so you gotta be a lover, black man. Huh? She keeps you warm in the wintertime. Huh? She keeps you cool in the summertime. And she keeps you hot all year round. You know you gotta be in love. You're a lover by nature, black man. You don't need some cracker to give you some so-called imaginary aphrodisiac to hang up over you. Connected to all kind of bloody, nasty, filthy, white European practices. And you don't even know where these practices come from. Santa Claus. I haven't forgotten J. Edgar Hoover. We're talking about the rise of a black Messiah. Huh? And we got to get rid of the false Messiah, huh? I realize there's no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. We're going to work this. We're going to leave this. I got something on the menu for everybody here tonight. I'm going to ring everybody's doorbell. I'm going to come down everybody's damn chimney. Before it's over, I'll be down your chimney. Some of us are just crazy as hell. Sitting on the TV, watching the couch. But I'm coming down your chimney. Coming down your chimney. That God is not teaching you. If that God is not sending prophet. Prophet coming from two Latin words, pro and fet. Pro meaning far and fet meaning speak. If he's not sending one who comes speaking for him, if he's not sending his divine message by a messenger, or raising up an anointing, a Messiah in your midst that will lead you to freedom and independence, liberation and salvation, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. I don't want to have nothing to do with a God that considers everybody and considers the land. You know the preachers like that. Oh, they'll get up there and pray for every damn body. Love, love, that's the president of this land. The vice president, Hillary, Monica too. That's the governor. Bless the mayor and the chief of police. Bless them all. Bless all the Congress and all of us. Bless the airport for all the Navy and the Marine Corps. Lord, Lord, if you got anything left. If you got anything left, come by here. Come by here, Lord. Come out here. Right. Because anything left, bless up. Are you out of your damn mind, man? You bless up. go to a church like that, that is a an ice house. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad called. He said, that's an ice house. It's an ice house that freezes the mind and the brain of black people. And the preacher is an ice maker. If you got an imam like that, he's an ice maker who is freezing your brain. And if your masjid is like that, it's an ice house. Huh? You can't go into the Quran and find a liberation solution. If you can't go into the Quran and find a way out, if you can't go into the Bible and find a liberation solution and be able to fight this white man, you should take those books and throw them in the garbage can. And then pick up the garbage can and fight the cracker with the garbage can. They got more work in the garbage can than they do in your hand. Brothers and sisters, can you blame me for wanting a black religion? Can you blame me for wanting a black God? Let me go with my first thing to say. Move my stethoscope aside. Everybody all right? If you're not, you'll be all right. Hold this one, please. A lot of things going on in some cases you never dreamed you would see nor hear. Yeah, I got them here. Thank you, ma'am. Let's look at it. What is this? What is this? What is this? A little fat, nasty looking white baby laying there with a bunch of peppermint, a bunch of crackers, standing all around me. You got all kind of crazy stories. Three wise men heard about the birth. They heard what the old prophets say about this baby being born. And they went looking for the baby and got lost. But you call them wise men. The hell, you wise. And you get lost on your mission. But you three, not one wise man, and all three of them got lost. Looking for them. And you still said, I mean, three wise men. Now, how wise are we to call them wise? Herod, in the spirit of Jehovah Jehovah, part of the decree, kill all children. 2 years and under. Why? Because we must stop the rise of a black Messiah. And electrify the militant masses of black people. Kill all children, Herod said, 2 years and under, because we must stop a coalition, the unity of militant black organizations. We must stop them from coming together. And so they give us this in the place of the truth. A white Jesus. A white Mary. A white Joseph. It adds the most spookism and mysticism to it. I just told you, white judges, white laws, white courts, white police, white army, white maiden, white Marine Corps. White Christmas, white Jesus, white angels, white prophets, white disciples, huh? White presidents, white senate, white-minded Congress and white Congress. Give me a white break. We deserve a break today. And gentlemen, for God wants it done. The truth has been whited out. The truth has been whited out. And we are dreaming of a white Christmas.
Yes, we are.